for the rest of the hour, putting genes in genealogy, tracing your family history is a big pastime for many folks. But if you've ever tried it like I have, you know that building a complete picture of your family tree takes a good, hard detective work and more than a little luck. But there is a high-tech solution. High-tech help is on the way. This week, one genealogy-related website, Ancestry.com, announced that it was teaming up with a genetics lab to offer you a handy-dandy home DNA test kit. So starting later this summer, you can compare your DNA to that of other people who have chosen to file their genetic patterns in the company's DNA database. And who knows, maybe you'll find some distantly related person with whom you can compare notes, discover a remote relative. Who knows, maybe there's somebody you know, you want to send them a kit, right? You say, you know, I think we're related. Okay, send me a kit. We'll do this DNA thing ourselves and see if there's anything to it. Joining me now is Megan Smolniak. She is Chief Family History for Ancestry.com. And a co-author of the book, Trace Your Roots with DNA, Using Genetic Tests to Explore Your Family Tree. She joins us by phone from New Jersey. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Is it basically that simple, what I said, how I described it?
It's pretty straightforward. It's mostly a matchmaking game. Basically, you take a DNA test, and it's like conventional databases. Normally, you would be searching for, say, other John Smiths. This time, the databases are comparing a bunch of numbers that you got from your DNA results. And whenever you find somebody who's a match with you, that's when you want to start comparing notes. And obviously, you're particularly interested in anybody who shares the same surname and has the same genetic signature.
So what do you get in this kit?
It's straightforward. It's a mouth swab. Usually you get two of them, just to be sure. And you just scrape the inside of your cheek and, you know, the paperwork, you fill that out and you send it right back. And about 2 to 3 weeks later, you get your results.
Now, when you say you get your results, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going to be it's not going to be something that you understand, is it? I mean, what is it going to tell you?
As I said, the results are usually a pile of numbers, and people they make themselves crazy trying to read some meaning into it. And I tell people just to think of it as a parts list. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you're going to have blue eyes or be short or anything like that. It's mostly junk DNA. But you use it for the matchmaking game. So you use these databases, and you compare. You look for anybody else who's a close fit. And hopefully you end up matching somebody who's done a little more homework than you have. So, for instance, last year I was speaking in Oklahoma, and there was a Shields in the audience, and I happened to belong to the Shields Surname Project, and he decided to join us. Tiny project, only 16 people. He matched somebody perfectly, shot him off an email, poof, 450 new relatives.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It may not be good news.
Yeah, depends on what kind of relatives you're looking for.
Somebody found you after all of those years and you owe them money or something like that.
Yeah, there's all sorts of games you could play, I suppose, if you got creative.
What are you actually testing for? What does the test look for?
Well, the most popular test for roots purposes, it uses a Y chromosome, which, of course, only men have. So if women want to play, they have to talk, say, their dad or their brother into representing them. But we basically piggyback off of the efforts of population geneticists, and it's still cost prohibitive to test the entire genome. So they have picked out certain markers that are highly variable, and so they're good at distinguishing between populations, and we found even between people. And so in a typical test, you'll have, say, 20-some-odd of these markers tested, and that's what you're playing the matchmaking game with. You get a number for each one of those markers, and the databases are running those numbers against everybody else's.
And you're looking for the Y chromosome that gets passed down from generation untouched?
Yeah, it gets passed down intact from father to son down through the generations, just like surnames do, which is why this is the number one toy for genealogists. It's basically the Y DNA and the surnames travel in tandem through history, and so this is why it's our most popular application.
But does that mean you can only find men on this?
No, there are other kind of tests or mitochondrial DNA tests that you can use the maternal side, but what we'll do, for example, when I wanted to test the family I was born into, I just asked my dad to take the test, so he represented me by proxy. So men are taking the test, but everybody can play. You just may have to, pester a cousin if you're a woman.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you might find your real parents.
If
you're adopted.
If people are really, really creative, I suppose people could do some pretty remarkable things with it. But the Y chromosome, it's not like what people see on CSI. It doesn't give away all your secrets. It's not giving away any medical clues. You're not going to end up in any criminal databases. Some people have privacy concerns, but it's. I always describe it to my audiences as a little bit more innocent, mm-hmm. because it's much more restrictive. It's just looking at a tiny snippet of your DNA.
In your own tests, were you able to trace back where your family came from?
Well, yeah. Actually, actually, I had an interesting experience because, like most people, I started by testing my own surname, which is Smolignac, and there's not too many of us. And there's, in fact, only four families of us. We all come from a podunk village in Slovakia, and I had all four lines traced back to the 1700s, but I still hadn't found our common ancestor. So I tested all four lines to prove that we were all related. Lo and behold, none of us matched. So at first I was disappointed, then I realized I just saved myself several decades of trying to prove something that's just completely false. So that's an example of what DNA testing can do that the paper trail is never going to do.
It does away with the mythology.
Exactly, exactly. I was just completely wrong, and that was the only way I would have found that out.
There are tests that claim to tell you if you're partly related to Genghis Khan, for example.
Yeah, there's some different types of ethnic tests and so forth. The company that has the Genghis Khan test, props for marketing, if you match that particular genetic signature, you get a free dinner for two at a Mongolian restaurant in London, which is great. But really, you could just take a regular old test and compare your results against his signature, which is floating out there on the Internet.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you go into the database and you get a hit, is there a way to say how closely related you are?
It doesn't tell you exactly. These tests can't tell you that, okay, it's your mutual great-great-grandfather.
Right.
But you know that if you have a perfect match that your lines do connect up at some point. And so what you'll want to do is shoot that individual an email and start, you know, talking back and forth. And if you're really lucky, you know, you hit somebody who's been already digging into their roots for some time.
Huh. Can you refine these tests anymore to give you anything?
Yeah, back when the very first tests were launched, which was 5-6 years ago, the highest test available was 4 markers, which to us is laughable now. So that gives you some sense of the progress. Mm-hmm. Most people these days test 20-some-odd markers, and
right.
It's possible a lot of companies may do as high as 40-some-odd. You can even get as high as 67 markers.
This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Talking with Megan Smolignac. She's the chief family historian for Ancestry.com and co-author of the book Trace Your Roots with DNA, using genetic tests to explore your family tree. Is this a very popular thing now that the Internet is around? I know since I sort of have a semi-famous name, people are always asking me, am I related? Now that the Internet is here, people see, all kinds of relationships mm-hmm. going on.
Yeah, it's all of a sudden it's become very popular just in the last year or so. I'm not quite sure what the trigger has been, but in my mind there's been two revolutions in genealogy. The first was the Internet, because that made it possible to find your second and third and fourth cousins. Now with DNA, it's going to make it possible to find, you know, your ninth and your 16th cousins, so it's pretty remarkable.
Mm-hmm. So you don't need to, people may be worried, hey, I have to send in a blood sample or something. They just need a swab from the inside of your mouth.
And that's a common myth, by the way. I know that one scientific study had to actually switch the way they gathered samples because they used to do blood samples and their database was becoming lopsided because, and I didn't know this, a lot of men are afraid of needles. And so their database was becoming predominantly female. But it doesn't hurt. It's just a plain old mouth swab. It looks like a glorified tooth Q-tip.
All right. Let's see if we have a caller here. Andrew in St. Paul. Hi, Andrew.
Hi. I'm just calling to suggest that Ancestry.com might be opening up a little bit of a can of worms because I ran across some information that there is a surprisingly large number of people in the country that are being raised by people who they think are their father but might not necessarily be.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that might be a possible landmine for you guys. So thanks for taking my call.
In genealogical terms, actually, the phrase we use for that is NPE, non-paternity event. And, that possibility always exists, but in most cases, in fact, when we were researching the book, we found, some sort of whoopsies in projects about two-thirds of the time. But in most cases, usually the whoopsie you're uncovering occurred maybe 100, 200, 300 years ago. And so it's usually not a big deal to folks. But, yeah, that possibility does exist if somebody wanted to try to use genealogical tests more in a paternity kind of style. But then again, all the men who are related on the paternal side with the father would share that same genetic signature, so it's not nearly as definitive as an actual paternity test.
Now, where would you go from there? Let's say you get a match. How would you progress toward narrowing down and widening your search?
Well, what you want to do is you want to swap emails with anybody who's a perfect match to you. If you have a really unusual genetic signature, you may not have any perfect matches, so you might be interested in exchanging emails with people who are one or two mutations off of you. But you're going to just bounce back and forth and compare notes and say, we have the same surname. Well, look at this. We're from the same part in Ireland, that kind of thing. And you're going to whittle it down naturally to the ones that are of greatest interest to you. And it's just a quicker way to find those folks, those distant cousins out there, mm-hmm. especially ones still back in the old country.
Yeah. When you say a perfect match, people may think that, gee, I have a twin out there. You're not saying that.
No,
it's a twin.
Again, this is just looking at a tiny snippet of your DNA. It's not the kind that uses autosomal DNA like what the FBI uses or what you see on CSI. It's not giving away any sort of secrets. It's basically, let's say somebody did get a hold of, say, your results and put them out there on the internet with your name attached to it. The worst that would happen really is that people could figure out if they're distant cousins of yours.
Huh.
So we still obviously don't do that kind of thing. We're very protective of all the data, but it's not giving away all sorts of secrets.
All right, Megan, thank you for taking time to be with us.
My pleasure.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
Megan Smolenyak is a chief family historian for Ancestry.com and co-author of the book Trace Your Roots with DNA, Using Genetic Tests to Explore Your Family Tree. Kimberly Jones is our technical director. Our audio engineers here in New York are Neil Rausch and Josh Rogerson. Greg Smith composed our theme music, and we had help today from NPR librarian Kim Molesky. If you have comments or questions, write us. Science Friday, 4 West 43rd Street, room 306, New York, New York, 10036. Surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com, where we're podcasting and blogging. Video podcasts. Some of them are Science Friday. Say, the last few weeks, we've had some nice video podcasts. Flora's put them up there. You can watch Science Friday as well as listen to it. And we want your videos. If you've got some great videos that you've taken, well, they're science-related. Maybe you've got some interesting science demonstrations. Send them to us. Give Flora a little note there on sciencefriday.com, and we'll add them to our collection, now featured on iTunes. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.